Matthias Patzak is the principal advisor at Amazon Web Services. He's an expert on lean agile operational models at scale and has led many successful cloud transformations that resulted in shorter delivery times and increased business value for the companies involved. In today's episode of the CTO to CTO podcast, Marcus speaks to Matthias about some of the biggest challenges that companies who want to go through digital transformation face, helping mature companies become e-commerce-centered businesses, how being customer-centric is the key to innovation, and why most companies don't think big enough when it comes to their own digital journey. Tune in.
Welcome, everybody, to today's episode of the CTO to CTO podcast. I'm totally thrilled today to announce you Matthias Patzak, the former CTO of Home Shopping Europe 24 and the CTO of AutoScout 24. Matthias has much more awesome stations within his CV, but Matthias, the stage is yours. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm Matthias Patzak. I'm father of two teenage kids. I'm a super lazy runner, but I'm a very passionate PlayStation player. Right now, I'm learning gliding. So this is flying planes without an engine. Despite of this, I'm 20 years in the industry now. Most of the time I spend at AutoScout as CTO. I learned there a lot about agile, lean startup, and cloud transformation. Recently, I've been CTO and managing director of Home Shopping Europe. I did there a cloud transformation too. And with this cloud transformation, I also relaunched their e-commerce platform. Now for a year, I'm with AWS based out of Munich. I'm part of the solution architect organization, and I'm helping customers with their cloud strategy, IT strategy, most of the time with retail and e-commerce customers.
Nice, Matthias. Thanks for your introduction. And I'll jump directly into our topic because today's episode is about the C-level guide for the e-commerce organizations. And as our audience can assume, Matthias has a cool and bold track record here in this topic. And according to the actual data from the German E-commerce Association, we see that we have a growing e-commerce market within the DACH region, and the consolidated revenue is more than 100 billion euros in the P2C business in DACH in 2020. And we see that everybody is challenging that e-commerce sales perspective and e-commerce tackles in the DACH region. But mostly the organizations are struggling by adapting the e-commerce. So e-commerce from our perspective is not only a web shop which you put in place to have SKUs and categories in front of your customer, but it's also about people, processes, and technologies. And today we like to focus on the people and processes in the e-commerce organizations and talk a little bit more about what we see on challenges on the client side in general and also on the companies by building e-commerce teams. And Matthias, I ask you directly, what challenges do you see in general on the company side by building those e-commerce teams?
Surprisingly, many companies don't want to build teams. So for them, it's not an issue because they just want to buy a tool that complies to a list of features. And from my point of view, this is the biggest challenge. Because it's not about technology, it's about people and it's about process. And the others that want to build real teams and want to set up an e-commerce organization, they want to have teams that just build features that comply with a wish list, the wish list of the owner or of the CEO, and they just want to follow a plan. And so from my point of view, the biggest challenge is the shift of mindset. And it's the shift from mindset from features to business value, then from planning to it's an endeavor. Basically, these are the two biggest changes. And planning to endeavor, this is a change where a lot of companies really struggle. So what you need is you need to have cross-functional e-commerce teams, and they should not deliver features, as we mentioned, and we will talk a lot about it later. They should really focus on the customer needs. And the customer needs, they need to be measured with the standard e-commerce KPIs. And then these teams, they need to work hard and smart to change these KPIs. And you cannot plan this. It's really plan, build, experiment.
Yeah, I'm totally agree, Matthias, and I'm totally with you. Also, my observation on the market is that most of the people or the companies are trying to define those features you mentioned because they're pretty much used to it. So they evolve in the technology industry or in the e-commerce industry by defining features. And the underlying aim was to mitigate the risks from my observations, because if they are mitigating risks, they are able to control their business and investments and so on. But basically, they are reducing the output for the customer. And from our observation, it's more about, increasing the outcome and reducing the output in case of features.
Yes, you're right. You're right. And so another big challenge I observe when I talk to customers and people out of the community is that they are totally not aware that they need business intelligence and web analytics skills as a core competency in these teams. Most of the companies have this. They have business intelligence or data people, but they are sitting in a different department and they are just providing infrastructure or standard reports. It's super crucial that the teams that build the products, that they have not only data, but they have insights, and these insights leading to actions and then to results. And the last issue I observe is that attracting these talents to building the teams is the biggest issue. And the question is, why should an e-commerce talent work at an ordinary mid-size German, European company? And I think it's doable to attract talents, even talents with great experience in one of the leading e-commerce companies. But you need to provide not just a new e-commerce technology. You need to provide a bold digital vision. You need to have the right culture and mindset. You need to give these people autonomy. What is also important, for sure, it's nice and skilled colleagues. You need to be at the right location. So maybe the middle of nowhere is not so attractive than Berlin Mitte. And yes, good salary and right tooling helps too.
Yeah, I totally agree, Matthias. And what I learned is also that maybe the location of the office isn't so important than it was before the COVID pandemic, because nowadays we're actually working remotely. But as you said, this bold digital vision you mentioned is like a North Star, and the teams have to follow this North Star. And if you don't have, as a company, this digital vision, you won't attract the talents that you need to fulfill your digital agenda. Definitely agree.
Yes. And what's missing too is a lot of companies miss mobile and social skills. So they are just thinking on desktop web. This might be appropriate for a B2B setup, but especially for B2C, the largest part of the traffic and also the orders is now on mobile channels. And so you still need to think mobile first. And this is a mantra that we came up at AutoScout in 2011. And we had the impression we would be late. But when I talk now to the late majority coming to digital business, they need to understand this mission too.
Absolutely agree. So from what I see on the numbers, we have an increasing mobile shift, which is, depending on the industry, about 60% of the traffic share. And mobile is definitely a must have and not a nice to have. And as you also pointed out, I see this social selling components, which arise also from other countries into the DACH region, which are getting more and more important to sell your goods online. But Matthias, may I ask you the following question? If you have the chance to build this e-commerce team, which we mentioned, and the capabilities you need from scratch, which roles and capabilities you would like to hire and add to the team?
Most people would expect that engineers or a digital agency who can actually build the e-commerce shop or the e-commerce platform would be the most important capability or talent you need to hire and add to the team. From my point of view, this is not the most important talent and capability of the team. The most important capabilities there are around product management, design, usability, and creating insights. You need great product managers who really understand the customer and your business model. You need great usability people who can drive the ease of use and can drive the conversion rate of your conversion funnel. And you need to have a compelling look of every device. So your mobile devices, on your social channels, and it must be a seamless experience. And this is why designers are crucial too. And the last important tenet is data and insights people, because you can build great features and you can have a great design and awesome usability, but you really need to measure with A/B tests if your new idea, your new design and your new feature really works out. And this is why the most important capabilities and the most underestimated from my point of view is data and KPI people.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I can absolutely underline this prioritization you mentioned, because in the end, if you have the right product manager and the right product people on the product itself, you have it's like a handwriting for the product. If you don't have this product managers and the guys for the usability and the design, in the end, it looks like a hard mashup, because the people are going to copy some functionalities from different platforms and just put it together with the engineers. But there's not this handwritten signature within your product, which you mentioned, which is covered actually by KPIs and data and so on. Yeah, totally agree. But what would happen, Matthias, if you step into a more mature company where the key growth until now was not related to tech and IT was not seen as an enabler? How would you transform such a company towards an e-com approach we actually discussed? And how would you like to tackle it?
So I think it all starts with people, and it starts with people mindset. So at first, I would assume the people that are still in the company, they are the right people. They understand the business, they understand the products, the assortment, and the customers. But I would check on the mindset, and I would check, are they thinking in projects or in products? So do they observe the initiatives that we do as a one-time effort? Or is it a product that needs to improve over time? I would check if they want to deliver value and not just features. I would check if they have the lean startup thinking. And lean startup thinking basically means you don't really know what your customer wants. You need to test it. You need to build something very quick, very cheap, and then test and optimize. And I would check if they would have a data-driven mindset. And if I see weaknesses in these areas, I would start working with them to improve this. And unfortunately, sometimes not everyone can make this journey. And then this is the time where you need to bring in new people.
So based on our initial conversation, I like to explain that lean startup concept from Eric Ries a little bit more, because the basic underlying concept of the lean startup method is breaking down things into a hypothesis and validate them. So basically, we're not really knowing what's working and what's not, and which metrics are okay and which not. And lean startup is a kind of framework which you can use by innovating products or innovating markets. Compared with a competitive market, that means if you are in a competitive market, you always have this uncertainty of the environments, and we can execute a plan and be better with our competitor. But this compete scenarios makes perfect sense in traditional industries. But when you want to lower your risks in the future, which are almost not predictable, it might not be the right approach for this. So if the future is not predictable, like in the e-commerce, also backed by the COVID situation, you have to validate your business ideas and your business models. So that's basically the key concept behind that lean startup thing. And Matthias, why is Build Measure Learn so important for you? Because you pointed it out so many times. And which experience did you make with its framework in the past?
So basically, I had a magic moment, and I'm going to explain it a bit right now. When I started at AutoScout24, we were releasing once a month, and the release took us 7 days. So the 5 days of the week and the 2 days of the weekend, and we really delivered poor quality. And after a lot of hard work with introducing unit tests, continuous integration, pair programming, so everything you can imagine what was fancy at this point of time, we were able to release 12 times a day in our on-premise data center. So on an Oracle database with a monolithic architecture. And it took us then several months, and then the VP sales, he came to me and he said, Matthias, your guys, they are too fast. We cannot sell the stuff you build. And you can imagine how proud I was. I was super proud because when I started, we were really the bad guys. But after a while, we realized that we were now able to deliver features at a high velocity. But the KPIs of our business, they did not change. So we did not acquire more customers. We did not increase the conversion rates, or we did not deliver more leads to the car dealers. And despite of all the planning and despite of all the business plans and business cases we had. And this was the time when Eric Ries released his famous book, and it really hit a nerve in our company, and we adopted it rigorously. And after introducing Scrum and DevOps in IT, this was the next transformation we have done in this company. So at first, we transformed IT, and we needed to learn how to deliver on time, in budget, and in high quality. And then product management, usability, together with IT, we, as a large family in the team, we needed to learn how to deliver business value. And we started also thinking about features as a bet, something that has a value and an uncertainty attached. And this is also one of my favorite ways to prioritize features. Make a 2x2 matrix with on one side estimated business value and on the other side probability of success or probability of adoption, and map all your features, your ideas and your initiatives in it. And depending on where this feature is in the matrix, you need to apply different procedures. If you have low probability but high business value, for example, then it's all about understanding the customer better and drive adoption rate. But if probability is high, it's just about execution and it's about scalability. And it's also a great way to map all your ideas in the overall portfolio. And usually teams that do this the first time encounter that they have a lot of high probability, but low value stuff in their portfolio. And this is bad.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense for me. And I also like that approach by prioritizing those features, because if you compare it to a classical organization, they are normally judged in the classical metrics, which means they judge on ease of implementation and the risk. So they think they know what a customer wants, but in the end, or in reality, they don't know, because the markets are changing in the end. And exactly what you say, this kind of new approach would be much more customer centric to judge on that and to have a good prioritization on your features.
Yeah. What kind of pitfalls do you see by using Lean Startup?
Good question. So I guess that most of the companies are wasting much too much time in thinking, planning, doing business planning and risk judgments and so on. So when we are in that uncertain environment, which we discussed right now, it's basically about wasting time over planning. So you should definitely validate the idea as quickly as possible and not to fall in love with the idea. So you should start the execution before you validate your idea too often. And also the second point would be getting advice from experts, because you know everyone is expert today, but the true expert is in the end your customer. He's the one who's judging and gives you the right feedback, and you should definitely take it serious if you would want to be customer-centric. And if you don't know who your customers are in the end, you can't judge on the perfect product or the perfect solution. And yeah, that's what I see on the pitfall side, and even maybe the last thing, delaying a launch date, because perfection is the enemy of entrepreneurship in my point of view.
Those who are able to learn faster overtake those who were first. Or to rephrase this, slow runners make fast runners look good.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree, Matthias. So basically, it's about output versus outcome, and we discussed it before. So from my point of view, it's reducing output and increasing the outcome. And as you mentioned in our introduction, featured buying is not still enough today. So we have so many companies out there which are struggling by building a solid backlog. And most of the time, the companies have a clear picture what features they want to have. But when it comes to prioritization, they are out because they want everything at one time, which isn't actually suitable for the business. And the most important things I see is the viable, usable, and feasible framework, which you always have to answer. Because on the viable thing, you will answer, will the customer buy and is it worth solving? On the usable thing, you have to understand, is the customer willing to use and get the value out of it? On the feasible thing, you have to judge on, can we build it? So basically, that are the judgments I would do in such a situation.
Yeah, and this discussion really, really drives me crazy. People who cannot prioritize, I always have the impression they do not really understand the business. And this is not the case, because the people really understand the business, but they are focusing, when it comes then to development, on the wrong kind of prioritization, the wrong kind of thinking. And feasibility is rarely the key question. Most of the stuff you see in the ordinary e-commerce stuff or the mobile app is nowadays totally feasible. It is more the other way around. The companies I observe and the teams that I am seeing, they are not thinking big enough. Yesterday, I saw a blog post on our Amazon blog post that we launched a new service or product. It's Amazon Saloon. Amazon Saloon is a hairdresser shop. It's based in London. So you can go there and you can get a haircut. And it's not about being into the haircutting industry as Amazon, but it's a shop where we showcase artificial intelligence and machine learning and picture recognition that could help haircutters or barbers to make fancy haircuts. And so teams are not thinking big enough, and they are not aware of current technology, and they are actually prioritizing features. This is not top of my mind anymore. I rather like the idea of thinking in flywheels that drive your business. And you need to map it out for your business. And you always have some key inputs to your business that accelerate each other. And from a strategic perspective, you need to decide where to attack on this flywheel, where to optimize next, and then give this direction as a mission to your team. So it's most of the time, as you describe this, it's viable and usable. These are the things you need to think about, and it's not about feasibility. And give them a KPI to improve, and then step out of the way and look what ideas they come up with, and then let them iterate on it and give them a back briefing.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Maybe you can a little bit more elaborate on this approach. So how are you thinking in that way when I thought you called it thinking in bets before. Maybe you give the audience a glimpse of how such a template can look like in case of this framework.
This is a super easy question, because there is a great blog post from ThoughtWorks and by Barry O'Reilly from 2014, when he was still consultant at ThoughtWorks. He left the company when he has written the famous book, Lean Enterprise, How to Innovate at Scale. And in this blog post, How to Implement Hypothesis-Driven Development, he comes up with a very easy but super powerful template that is, it looks like a bit of a user story in Scrum, but it's much more powerful. And it says, we believe that this capability, this feature, will result in a specific outcome. We will know we have succeeded when we see a measurable signal. And the signal, it's important one. So because it shows you're acting into the right direction, you get a signal that it's viable or it's usable, and then you either improve or continue, or you just pivot and try something out, something different out. And from my point of view, this is a super powerful concept That you don't build just a feature, but that you treat your ideas as a bet with an uncertainty.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. And I really like that how might we approach, because it's also free your mind. You're not bounded in any constraints. You're a little bit more free to think over possible solutions. But then you always have to put the results into that hypothesis so that you're always double checking if you're on the right way. I really like that approach, Matthias. Thanks for that. And we will definitely put that in the notes of the episode. But basically, the time is over and we're coming to the end of this episode, and we're always asking these questions to our audience. So what is the most exciting trend in the tech industry or in the IT industry, Matthias, you're actually following at the moment?
Yeah, unfortunately, most of the companies I work with are busy catching up with the basics from a tech perspective, but also from mobile and app perspective. But personally, the trends in e-commerce, I'm really most interested in is live and video commerce, especially what's happening in China. And this is awesome. And I'm pretty sure that this will happen in the US, UK, and in Europe too. Maybe not this year, but on a 2 or 3 years perspective, this trend will arrive in Germany. And it's a huge opportunity for many, many customers and companies who are not even yet big in e-commerce, but they could be first mover in this trend.
Absolutely agree. If you see under the hood, where's Google and Facebook actually working on? So that definitely backs your hypothesis that those trends are coming over to the DACH region, definitely. Okay, so Matthias, thanks for your time. I really appreciate our talk today. And would happy to hear more of you within of the next episodes.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the CTO to CTO podcast. We have some really exciting news for you, and we will announce them shortly. So stick with us and speak to you soon.